Man, it is great to be here today. I love being able to worship our Father together. I pray that if you are here today and you came in with burdens and problems and challenges and all kinds of things that could stand in the way of us fully devoting ourselves to God, I pray that those have left you by now. I do want to tell you a couple things before we get into our lesson today. First of all, it looks to be a wedding band, was found in the multipurpose building. We're about the same size, FY. But if you're missing this band, I am going to put it in my pocket. I cannot guarantee you that I'll remember it's in there. So see me later. Also, sometimes things happen and you just get caught up in it and you realize, well, we haven't announced that yet. We do have a couple that's expecting their second child here, and it's really no secret, but we wanted to go ahead and make it official, give it the official Azalea City congratulations. And so we want to congratulate Matt and Crystal McCollum, and they're going to be having another baby, and we believe it's going to be a boy. It's not 100% official yet, but please give them a pat on the back. Also pray for them and pray that they have a healthy baby. So we've got more than likely, my buddy Dawson right there is excited too. We've got a baby boy there. The Teagues are having a baby boy, and we found out yesterday that the Aldreds are having a baby boy. And so we've got a lot of little boys coming around here, and so congratulations all around. You know, sometimes things kind of get in the way of plans you have. For about three times now, George and I have had plans. Our plans to start a new class, and we are going to start that new class. As true as I'm standing here, we're going to do that class. But today, Sunday afternoon for the master is going to take precedent. That's been on the calendar, obviously, and so we want to make sure that we start our class. Our plan is to start it next month, Sunday. Okay, next month, next Sunday is what I meant to say. So, please, that class is going to be offered for all. 4:30 on Sunday afternoon once a month, and we're going to meet and we're going to talk about some things that, you know, may challenge us to think a little bit and to dig in the scriptures and such. And so, that's a good thing, though. It's always a good thing to do that. But, so, it will not meet today. Let's plan on that next Sunday. It is Sunday afternoon for the master today, so plan for that. I love you, church, and I appreciate you so much. If you were able to make it to spiritual enrichment at all, you left enriched. There's no doubt in my mind. I was able to hear every lesson save the ladies, and I know the ladies did great, but I was truly impressed with all of our speakers, with all of those who worked so hard. I had so many ideas come to my brain as those lessons were being laid out before us. And so I'm hoping to be able to share some of those things that are on my heart in the next few weeks. But if you did not get a chance to listen, did not get a chance to be here, please look it up on azaleacity.org and listen to those lessons. It started last Sunday night and went through Wednesday night, of course, and so it was a great time for all. But coming out of that made me think about some things I want to talk to you about that deal with who we've been focusing on today, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, I know you say, well, the joke kind of, not joke, but the easy way out when Steve asked me, hey, what you going to preach about? You know, it'd either be God, Jesus, or heaven, right? And so I told him, seriously, this next go-round, the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about Jesus. I mean, we always try to mention Jesus. We always try to tie it to Jesus. But specifically, I want to dig into more about Jesus. How about that? Steve led us in that song today. I didn't even have that song on my heart, but he did. I just want to remind you what it says. More about Jesus would I know. More of His grace to others show. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, let me learn. More of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus in His Word, holding communion with my Lord. Hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus on His throne, riches and glory all His own. More of His kingdom sure increase. More of His coming, Prince of Peace. More about Jesus. That's where we are. We need to be taking in more Jesus. Let me tell you, every day, you know what we talked about being broken during spiritual enrichment, in a broken world, being whole in a broken world, being one in a broken world. Let me tell you, folks, we are a broken people in a broken world. In the Garden of Eden, it happened in Genesis 3 when everything was perfect. See, when God makes something, He doesn't make mistakes, right? He made it and it was perfect. Man was perfect. Woman was perfect. Eden was perfect. But all of a sudden, the devil slithered his way, the deceiver slithered his way into their lives, and they took the bait, they took the fruit, they ate of the fruit, and they became broken. God's scheme of redemption, Jesus Christ, is the only one that can make this broken people whole. In Acts chapter 2, you know how it goes, don't you? Acts chapter 2, they're gathered, they've been praying in that upper room, and all of a sudden there comes the rumble, right? The Holy Spirit, like a freight train, is coming upon them. And the Holy Spirit, that miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, descends down upon those now apostles. And there are thousands gathered there on the day of Pentecost. They are gathered with all kinds of different native tongues and all kinds of different looks and all kinds of different ways about them. They've gathered on this holy day and God goes to work. And as that Holy Spirit descends down upon those apostles, they get up and they start to talk. And that miraculous sign of them speaking in their native language and everybody else hearing in their native tongue or language, it makes them think, hey, these guys, they don't know what else to say. They just must be drunk. But that's when Peter really speaks up and he says, oh no, they're not drunk. We're not drunk. Let me tell you about Jesus. And he preaches in Acts 2 about Jesus Christ. And it's so beautiful how that story and that sermon unfolds, because he talks about people that they can relate to, especially David. Man, they love King David. I mean, King David, who doesn't love King David? I love King David. He was that shepherd boy who slayed that giant, who became king after the lineage was taken away from Saul. David and his family became king. And he is revered. And so Peter tells him about David. But you know what he says about David? As great as David was, guess what? I can take you and show you his bones. He said, but not about Jesus. Not about the King of Kings. He's not there. He has risen. It's the gospel that he was preaching, right? The death, the burial, the resurrection, the good news of Jesus Christ. And they all of a sudden realize, whoa, we killed this man. Because he told them that. What do we need to do? And of course, he tells them in verse 38, turn away from all your sins, be baptized, immersed in water. What will happen? You're going to receive forgiveness of sins. You're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 of them decided at the invitation song to walk the aisle, right? Man, and the church is growing. And it's a beautiful thing. And they rock on in Acts chapter 3. They run into that lame man at the gate beautiful. You remember the story? He wanted money. He's begging for alms. And what does Peter tell him? Silver and gold, we do not have it. But what we do have, we're going to give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he leaps to his feet. And he walks, and that gets people stirred up, and some obey the gospel through all that, and the number of men grow to 5,000. Well, now the Sanhedrin's getting upset. Oh, yeah, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they're pretty upset about it. They're not happy. And so they call these guys in, and they beat them. And they severely threaten them. And they say, stop teaching in the name of Jesus. And here's where I want to get to in Acts 4. Peter, and I believe he says it very respectfully, I really do. Sir, sirs, whether you think it's right for us to listen to you and obey your word rather than us listen and obey God's word, you've got to make that decision. You've got to decide what you've got to do what you've got to do. But I need to tell you something. We can't help it. We can't help it. We are so full of Jesus, Jesus has to come out. Now, church, I want to ask you this morning. Is that where we are today? Am I so full of Jesus Christ that Jesus is coming out? Or am I full of Jesus on Sunday mornings? Am I full of Jesus on Wednesday nights? Am I full of the world the other 5 days a week? Where are we? You see, I can't answer that. But I want you to know, here's the good news. If you're not full of Jesus, that Jesus is coming out, there's time. There's time right now. Because you know what Jesus is doing? He's knocking. He knocked on Peter's heart, didn't he? Peter didn't get there overnight. There was a time when Peter was so full of self. Peter was so full of world. Peter was so full of anger at times. He was so full of denial at times. But eventually he got it out. And he filled up with Jesus Christ. He opened the door and said, come on in. Have dinner with me. Let's talk together. Let's hug. Let's love. Let's encourage. Let's pray. Let's dwell. Today, the question I want to ask you as we dig into this lesson together is this. Are we just going to leave Jesus knocking? The other day, I had somebody come to my house. We're in a Facebook group online, and we try to look out for our neighborhood. And somebody had posted, there's some people coming by, and they're selling cleaning supplies or something. Today's day and time, some things are fishy. Well, I'm the second house on the right in the neighborhood. Okay? You go down Johnson Road, you turn in McRae Trace, second house on the right, come see us. Alright? But these people did. Now I have Harley. You've heard me talk about Harley. Harley does some things that get on my nerves. But Harley is a boxer. She's a muscular dog. We work out together. No, I'm just kidding. But she runs a lot more than I do, I promise you that. But anyhow, she's a real muscular dog and she's got a great bark. Now she is the most loving thing. I mean, she'll jump this high. If you come to the house, she's so excited to see, like we never see people, you know. She'll jump this high. She's so excited. She'll love on you and everything. But to that lady, Harley was chewing her out. Rawr, 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 rawr. I didn't have to open the door to that lady. She didn't even knock on my door. She just said, I've got some of this. You interested? I said, no, ma'am. She said, okay, see you later. But there's Jesus. He's got something to not sell us, but to give us. Are we just going to let the dog rawr, 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 rawr? Or are we going to open the door? That's a question we have to ask ourselves today. Here's some good news. You're invited. You know, it is so heartbreaking to me that schools, and listen, if you are one of these people, I am not meaning this ugly at all. I think it's cool that you invite everybody in your class to every single party. But we just can't go to every single party. First of all, I'd have to take out a small loan. You know, but Miss Madeline and Bo, they've gotten these invitations over the years and they want to go to these parties, you know. They want to go be with their friends and everything else. Why? Because it feels good to be invited, doesn't it? There's going to come a time when they get to middle school when they're inviting a certain amount of group and they're not inviting this group, and then they're going to be crying because they didn't get invited, right? Here's the beautiful thing. You got an invitation in your heart today, in the mail today, okay? And that invitation says you're invited. Let me tell you a cool thing about that, though. That invitation's from God. How amazing is that? God has invited you, and He has invited me. The God of heaven now, okay? The God of the universe, the Creator, Yahweh Himself, has said, hey, you're invited. Revelation chapter 3 is where I'm going to be. Verse 14 reads like this. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right? These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with the eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Here it is. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him, dine with him, and he with me. Now, we know this lesson. We've heard lessons about people not Jesus knocking all the time. Over the years, we know that in Revelation 3 and verse 20, He teaches us that. But here's what I want us to really think about today. I don't want us to hear this lesson and think, oh yeah, I know Jesus standing at the door. I want us to see Jesus standing at the door. I want us to see Him standing at the door. I want us to see Jesus knocking on our door, okay? And He has in His hand an invitation. The invitation says, yeah, I want you to live with me, but right now, in order to do that, I want to live with you. I want to come into your life. I want to be at your dinner table. I want to be in your living room. I want to be in your heart. I want to be in your mind, in your soul. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians 1. Listen to what Paul says here in verse 15 and 16. Who is standing at my door? Remember now, see Him, Jesus. I know that's a scene that we think we know what He looks like, right? But see Jesus today. Here's what He says. Paul says, He is the image of the invisible God. You know what that means? He is God in the flesh. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus, God, is who's on the front porch. He's the firstborn over all creation. That's who's standing at the door. He reads on in verse 16. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. I got a lot to say, I know. But when I hear this and I have been recharged to think about Jesus wanting in my life, there are times when I'm afraid I've been too busy for my children, you know? And I know I've got along. Some of you may have some of those regrets. I've got a lot of irons in the fire. I really do. Some of those it's my fault in some of them, but I'm trying to do the best I can in all of them. But one of them I really got to focus on, and I'm trying to, is my children. But sometimes they come to you and they want you to see this thing, and my little girl Madeline's been trying to show me these horses, and I really am trying to take an interest and do it. But sometimes, you know, you might have a million other things. We're trying to hire a president at Mobile Christian School where I chair that board, and that there's a lot going on with that, you know. And so sometimes I might be on an email, or I might be on a text, or I might be on a call, or whatever. And sometimes we might get busy. We might think, you know, my little girl might say, well, Daddy's too busy. I don't want her to say that. But sometimes, as children of God, we might think, oh, well, He's too busy. I mean, listen to what He did. He made every dominion, every principality, everything we can imagine, He made it. But guess what? He's not too busy for you. He's not too busy for me. And He's standing outside and He's knocking. Are we going to let Him in? That's who's on the front porch. Our lives matter to God. We're here for Him. And that's why He stands and He knocks. He wants us and He longs for us. Ever since man became broken in Genesis 3, God has made a way to send Jesus to your front porch. But you know what else? Sometimes the deceiver stands out there. Impersonator. Somebody who might look a lot more inviting. Somebody who might be what we would call cooler. He might hit all the latest trends. He might have all the social media apps. He might have everything going for him. And he is the man. He's got a, you know, very fine vehicle parked out front of your house. And he's come up, and he is, man, he's not, I mean, he could be selling Girl Scout cookies if you like that, but he's not selling Girl Scout cookies. You know what I mean? He is selling something far worse, but it looks great. And he knocks. And sometimes because he's dressed nice, and he drives a nice car, and he's got a nice product, we're like, come on in, brother. Come on in. And he's got a name tag. And it says, I'm a good guy, but he's not who we think he is. Because he's the deceiver. And we can't be deceived. Sometimes we've already let the devil in. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't care about anyone, but maybe himself. You know, and we can sit there and think that Jesus, He's too busy, and so this other guy, he's okay. We might think Jesus has got apostles, He's got prophets, He's got angels, He's got the Holy Spirit, He's got 7 billion people on the planet. Why does He want to come to me? That's what the deceiver wants you to think. That's what Satan is telling you. But folks, we can't be deceived. The devil doesn't want anything to do with you, but Jesus wants everything to do with you. But this is where the lesson can turn from encouraging to guilty for a moment. You might think, I haven't opened the door. I have let Satan in. I haven't opened the door to Jesus Christ, and now all of a sudden I'm struck with guilt. My heart is just filled up with guilt and misery. And now I can't get out of my own way. You know, I was with Jason and Tally last night. We had a baseball game at Hank Aaron Stadium, and afterwards, back at Mobile Christian's facility, we've got some very talented guys. And Jason and Tally addressed them and said, if we will get out of our own way, we'll have a good team. There's some selfishness and some things that they've got to get out of the way. We've got to get out of the way, okay? And that's kind of how it is with us and Jesus. Sometimes we're in our own way. We've got all the ability to accept Him and to let Him in and be a part of this great team, but we get in our own way because we let the deceiver in. You know, I had great intentions in January. I know March is right around the corner, but it's the second month of the year. We had great intentions, didn't we? We were going to read more. We were going to pray more. We were going to do more. We were going to let Jesus come on in every day. But now we're a little bit off course. We kicked Him out. But He didn't go away. He's still out there knocking. So it begs the question. We know God wants to spend more time with us. Why don't we answer the door, right? Why don't we answer the door? Let me give you three quick things today. First of all, this. The noise is too loud. Think about it this way, okay? You're cleaning house or, I don't know, exercising, doing something, and you've cranked the noise up, right? People do that. They put Spotify on or they put whatever those other ones are, I can't even think of them right now. But anyhow, they put those on, and they turn the music up, or they say, Alexa, play such and such, right? That's where we are today. And Alexa plays it, or you just get the old radio out and turn it up, right? And we've got this noise going, and we're blowing and going, and somebody comes, and they've got the greatest product in the world, and they knock on the door, they even ring the doorbell, ding dong, but we don't hear it. We don't hear it because the noise is too loud. Well, sometimes in our lives spiritually, we've got a lot of noise. Jesus, I didn't hear you knocking. I didn't hear you knocking. You know why? Because I had a lot of things playing noise in my life. 2 Timothy 3. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. That's a lot of noise. Nebuchadnezzar said, when the music plays, you bow down. Sometimes in our lives, the music's still playing. And we're still bowing down. We got to get rid of the noise. The one who's standing at the door is the one that can bring the peace. He can calm the noise. He can calm the storm. But we've got to let Him in. Secondly, this morning, sometimes we don't let Him in because our lives are too busy. I tell Michelle sometimes that we bought a house, and we love our house, we really do, but we only sleep there sometimes. I mean, or oftentimes. We just buy this house, and it's got a bedroom for us, and that's where we sleep because we're busy people. But everybody is. Man, we're not. We didn't write the busy rules. That's just the way it is in life anymore. We're fast going and fast forward. We're fast motion. But sometimes when we get so busy, we don't even realize that somebody's at the door. And this somebody's Jesus Christ. The devil would want nothing more than to get us so busy that we get distracted. Again, the deceiver's out there too. Jesus, He has no power if we do not allow Him in. You know, I'm not even talking about doing bad things. I'm not saying we're busy with bad things. Sometimes we're just busy. I can't be there. I can't do that because I got too many things going on. If we aren't careful, we'll treat Jesus the same way we treat those random door knockers. I'm sorry, I'm too busy. We can't get to the door. Or sometimes we do this, like, shh. If we're still and we're quiet, they won't know we're here. I don't have enough time to go to the door. But when we remember who's standing on the porch, the one who made all the dominions, all the earth, all the trees, he's standing at the door. Let's not be too busy. Thirdly and finally, we believe, and I put that in parentheses, we don't let Him in because our souls are too spotted. I'm going to tell you right now, our house is relatively clean because we've got some good friends coming over tonight. So we're prepped for that. I told you, you're invited to my house, but if I don't let you in, it's because there is a bomb that's gone off in our house. Okay, somebody took a hand grenade, threw it in there, and where everything ended up, that's the way it is. I'm real, folks. I love to tell you, we were sometimes more organized than that, but we're both working, we're both busy, a lot going on. That's just life. So we don't let people in sometimes if our house is messy, do we? Or we're like, hurry up, get this cleaned up, get it in here, right? Why? Because somebody's standing at the door. Sometimes we look at our lives and think, I can't let Jesus in, my life's too cluttered. My life's too filthy. I got too many bad things going on. Oh no, I can't let Jesus come in. Oh no, I can't let people come in. You know what, at the end of the day, He knows. He knows. And He knows just what we need. He met Zacchaeus where he was. Zacchaeus was up a sycamore tree. And He met him right there. He met the adulterous woman right where she was. She might not have had any clothes on, folks. I don't know. She was caught in the very act of adultery. He met the Samaritan woman at that well, right where she was. All the exes and everything else. He met Legion in a cemetery, right where he was. He met Bartimaeus on the side of the road. He met Lazarus dead in a tomb. He doesn't care what your house looks like. Because when He comes in, He's going to help it get clean. Why would we leave Him waiting? What's holding us back? Is it lies? Is it our tongues? Skipping out on worship? Is it gossip? Is it pornography? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? What dirt is in your life? Whatever it is, He died to sin once and for all. And today, you can leave it at the cross. I ask you, more importantly, God asks you, here's the invitation. Are you going to let Him in? Today, if that need is to obey the gospel, to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, or if today is to clean out the kitchen, to clean out the heart, whatever need it is, don't leave Him outside waiting any longer, as together we stand and sing.